from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The truth is that when those elite receivers left those quarterbacks were still really good. Wide receivers don't really make quarterbacks. They make quarterbacks' lives easier. But the fact of the matter is, there aren't a lot of examples of quarterbacks who lost elite receivers and then suddenly they weren't good anymore. People said the exact same thing when Calvin Johnson left Matt Stafford. It just doesn't end up being the case. And I don't know why we continue to go down this road narratively when there isn't a lot of backing data on that. But the people who once again drunk at the well of the Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen, all the stat lines about Josh Allen without Stephon Diggs running its way around, those stat lines are going to look a lot different. That's my prediction for the Buffalo Bills for 2024.
Bruce Nolan with the new Bruce exclusive podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, go ahead and give him a listen if you're not already doing that. We had him on last hour. It's always a great time to be able to talk to Bruce, and it's always good to hear from him with the wellspring of knowledge that he has with the Bills. And I'd ask the question to him, and I want to open it up to everyone else. What new storyline or new angle with this season are you most excited about with the Buffalo Bills? Because let's think about this. Back on Thursday, I'd come in here and I did the Extra Point Show. Mm-hmm. And Joe and Nate had done something called Bill Zoomies, where it was get the last little bit of nervous energy out.
Yeah.
And it turned into a lot of commiserating. A lot of, you know, the losses to the Chiefs, everything like that. And and I didn't want to do that, because I'm thinking to myself, training camp's around the corner. There should be excitement, wonder, curiosity. And like, we shouldn't have the anger of the past at this point. That's what literally a new season's supposed to be about. And that's what got me thinking of, I've done this in the past, where I don't care about training camp. I don't care about preseason. I don't even care about the regular season. Like, get me to January. And that was a dangerous mindset to have. Zach had done this with me a couple years ago, saying that it was a dangerous mindset to have, because then you're not going to enjoy the wonder of the season that happens as it is. And this season feels genuinely different because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many questions. There's some uncertainty, genuine uncertainty, about how good this team can be, really. But as long as there's a certain quarterback under center, they will be fine. We've seen we've seen teams with great quarterbacks miss playoffs every now and then. But I also don't look at this Bills roster and think that they're bad.
No, not at all. They unproven is the proper word, and I think that's where a lot of people are off on their analysis. Is it's not that they're going to be bad, because they don't know. They just don't know what they're getting, really. And I mean, Spencer Brown, we heard a clip from him coming back from a break. The guys are putting the work in. OTAs went smooth, he said. So I think you're really going to... In preseason, I still don't like preseason as an indicator for anything.
No.
The Steelers beat the Bills in the preseason last year.
Beat the bricks off of them.
Bricks off of them. And I remember...
I had to host that game.
Yeah.
And everyone called in miserable. And I'm like, it's a preseason game.
That's what I was going to say. And like a lot of Pittsburgh guys, like podcast guys, I should say, not like national media guys, they were all in
Someone that used to work here, Andrew Filippone.
Yes.
Who hosts in Pittsburgh. He's doing the same thing. Same,
right.
Like victory lap dancing. Like, oh, this team's going
to
be great.
The teams aren't preparing to play each other in the preseason. They're preparing to test out their playbook and what happens and what doesn't.
And not to mention, Pittsburgh's very first game was the same opponent that they faced in the very last game of their season.
Right.
And it was vastly different.
It was the opposite direction.
And it mattered a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes were a little bit higher.
Yep.
But they faced the Bills, blew them out in the preseason. They faced the Bills in the postseason, get the doors kicked off of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of tells you, like, the preseason pledge, it's always hard to make sure of it. But this year, I'm more curious. I'm not going to be reactive more than I'm going to be inquisitive. Because Bruce brought something up when we talked to him about when players are playing still. Usage and deployment is important. It's going to be something that everyone has to remember here. We always have our training camp darlings, everything like that. Like Andy Isabella last year. I remember having to scream from the top of buildings or having the fun debate with Joe DiBiase too. I'm like, no, it's like, yeah, Khalil Shakir's taken a hit with production in terms of training camp or preseason. He hasn't looked very good. And then by the end of last season, he became our hope of any sort of talent retention within the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
He's now the guy that everyone's expecting to take a big leap 1 year later. After having, objectively as a Shakir fan here, not a great training camp last year. And very genuinely being on the roster bubble. Instead, everyone's looking at him as like, hey, he's kind of the guy to lead this wide receiver room right now. It tells you that preseason, we still need to take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be more enjoyable this year because we're going to see plenty of new faces. We're going to see the deployment of Ray Davis. How much is he going to be used in the preseason? Like, what's the share with him and Ty Johnson? You've got plenty of wide receivers on this roster bubble. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Chase Claypool, Mac Hollins being a special teamer. Like, how much are you going to use him as a wide receiver?
You forget how many there are.
Andy Isabella, last year's training camp preseason darling, is going to be fighting with a roster spot here.
Mm-hmm.
KJ Hamler is no schmuck. Justin Shorter, a guy that managed to stay within this team all throughout the season, you know, as a practice squad player. We don't know what's going to happen.
No.
But there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, and it's going to be fun to look at. How's this new look offensive line with Connor McGovern at center instead of guard?
Mm-hmm. What's Joe Brady's scheme even look like, right?
What's Joe Brady's scheme going to look like? David Edwards jumping into left guard at that point is probably what it's going to be drawn up as. Or does Cedric Van... Oh, hang on. I got to say it right again. Cedric Van Pran Granger...
Van Pran Granger, yeah.
...become a steal in the third round?
He might. That's...
You could kick McGovern over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, and one of them that we do not talk about enough is center or the interior offensive line.
Yes. Because, and I like what you just said. McGovern possibly get kicked over? Because Van Pran Granger, the steal in the third round, what a young player to start with Allen and basically go through the rest of the career if healthy.
Yeah,
right?
We'll see what happens there. Because like, yeah. Osiris Torrance steps in, contributes immediately as a second round pick at guard.
He was honestly, I had the Bills picking him first in a lot of scenarios, but they ended up doing better.
But again, we don't know what's going to happen here. There's a lot of wonder. Like, how good does Keon Coleman look right away? Like, obviously, preseason is not going to be something, but it's going to give people some hope. It's going to give people some expectation. And it's going to be about looking at physical traits and capabilities and how he's able to use them on other players.
Yeah.
Hopefully, against projected starters.
Yeah. Well, the thing, too, the blue and white game is another part of training camp-ish that preseason, I consider, when they play pad on pad with each other, right? Last year I went, it was just the Bills, whatever, because it was just the same guys in the same positions. This year, you're going to see your linebackers, Milano and Bernard, playing against your guys on the offense, these undecided guys. So I think that's going to be more interesting to go to as well. Just like you said, there's new talent, there's new everything.
There's new talent everywhere.
Like, yeah.
When I'm looking at these wide receivers, I'm looking at that secondary too. What's my safety duo going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
What becomes the best looking safety duo? How much does Cole Bishop get in? Like, deployment's going to matter in these things.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like? And it's going to be fascinating to watch. Because like you said, the last couple of years, it's been run it back, run it back, run it back, run it back. And run it back with these championship expectations on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You have Josh Allen. You should be wanting to expect a championship no matter what. But there is a new question of how the rest of this group looks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I could look at the offense and I can give you plenty of different questions. And I bring up the offensive line on the interior because Mitch Morse was a big deal for this team.
He was the glue in the middle of that line.
He was.
And when
he
got removed for that injury, there was a huge, like, gaping hole. It was bad.
And a player, though, that had a lot of concussion questions and, like, concerns. Like, there were a lot of those worries. He was relatively healthy throughout his time with the Bills, which is good. That was exactly what he proved to be a value of that contract that he was signed to.
Yeah. Well, you think the center position never really has been that much of a concern, right?
Exactly, because you had Mitch Morse. Like, and I could write it off.
Before that, you had Eric Wood. There was only one season in between the two, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And
that was because they went and shelled out money to get Mitch Morse.
Exactly. And then you had Morse locked down. He was your center. You never had to worry about it.
And, like, yeah, he missed a couple of games with injury, but, like, he didn't miss chunks of seasons. He only missed a game or two here and there. There weren't pockets of time that he was out. And last year, we looked at this offensive line as a unit, and it was one of the best in football. Run blocking, pass blocking, they were very consistent together. Now there's going to be a question what happens in the middle here. Four of the five come back. What happens with number five? That's the question. And because even then, sometimes, like, also you got to look at depth. Because the Bills were hilariously healthy on the offensive line last year.
Yeah.
I think that's the right term for it. They were hilariously healthy on the offensive line. You don't typically go through a whole season with your offensive line intact like they did.
Yep. They had no worry there. And funnily enough, everywhere else was a question on the defense. You know,
There were injuries everywhere else.
Yeah.
But if you did not hear it, here, I'll pull the mic even closer to it.
Knocking vigorously on wood or whatever. I know there's wood surrounding the ceramic material of some kind.
There is wooden material here. I am knocking on it because that's what I have to do. Wide receiver, obviously. Deployment of Kincaid and Knox. We didn't get a lot of the two of them together last year. The emergence of Dalton Kincaid. How much more is he going to be used in this offense? How much more is Shakir going to be involved in a heavier role? Deployment of the running backs, like Bruce had mentioned. All of these are questions that I want the answers to, but I'm also fascinated by. Who are the wide receivers that win their battles for not just catching a football, but catching a roster spot? Because there's names here. There's names that are fascinating. It's not like they're world enders. It's not like the Bills went and signed OBJ, and that's like such a huge name, but he's not the player that he was. But at the same time, people know who Marquez Valdes-Scantling is. People know who Chase Claypool is.
Yeah, and Claypool might be the one I'm most interested by, I'm going to be honest with you, because I know it might be somewhat of a hot take. He's shown his promise, and that was with a dying Ben Roethlisberger, essentially. And then you had Kenny Pickett, and then he bounced around teams just as a depth guy, whatever. He didn't really play. I think he understands the assignment. And the Bills understand the assignment with him here, that he's going to try and be proving himself that he deserves a spot on a roster in the NFL as a receiver of any proportion, not a wide receiver one maybe. But I think he's proving that, and the Bills are giving him that opportunity because, you know what? It's to their benefit either way. If he doesn't pan out, he's just not on the roster. They have other guys who are going to pan out. If he does pan out, he adds to the roster where other guys they're banking on. It gives them a little bit of a security blanket. So go chase Claypool. That's where I'm at right now.
No, like, here's the thing. When a player signs with the Bills, I want them to succeed. I want them to be able to make these plays. I want them to do good things. Why would you not? And for me, it's more or less I'm going to look at what Chase Claypool has done in Pittsburgh and hope that he can replicate that early career success. Because if so, then you're getting 800 yards out of a guy. Sign me up. That's a great depth addition at that point. Or just a good addition at that point.
Yeah.
You're getting 800 yards out of someone that's wide receiver two numbers.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Bills...
If you get 600 to 700 out of Chase Claypool, hey, good for him. He'll get himself a nice contract, either here or somewhere else. And
you've benefited from it.
And you've benefited from it. Like Leonard Floyd last year. Man got himself a nice little contract this offseason.
Yeah.
But the Bills were benefactors of that because they got double-digit sacks out of a late signing.
Right, to fill an injury that was just – Von Miller was supposed to come back as Von Miller, and that never happened.
But also, he was available that late, and everyone's like, okay, they just signed Leonard Floyd. That's sick.
Mm-hmm. And here we go.
And last year, I was the guy constantly saying, nobody's talking enough about Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was phenomenal.
He was great. Better than even I thought he was going to do.
I think better than anyone, any talking head show, anything
nobody
said he was
really
going to be.
Nobody mentioned him.
No.
That was the thing. And I was starting to get like, why is nobody talking about him? And this is not me tooting my own horn. This is just more or less like, who's that guy this year? And right. It might be Chase Claypool. And that would be fascinating to me because, again, the Bills then become benefactors. We watching them become benefactors because you see a player do well. Well, that makes you happy. It gives you that serotonin boost. That's why we watch sports, isn't it?
Yeah. That is the thing. You root for these guys on your squad. Like, you root for anybody, right? I mean, in any job. Everyone wants to see a friend get a promotion, something like that, right?
Yes.
And that's what you're watching on the TV. You align yourself with these guys in your team. They're your squad. And to see them, albeit moving on, but moving up, is nothing but good. So I'm fine with that.
And again, he is just one of many players on how this wide receiver deployment is going to be that you want to pay attention to. Who's a guy playing in the third quarter of game two? Who's a guy that's playing in the second half of game three?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are things that you have to start looking out for
right.
in those games because, all right, who's on the outside that needs to fight their way back? Like Bruce had said, if you're playing the fourth quarter of the last preseason game, you're putting out tape for somebody else.
Yeah. If you are not on the field.
If you're not on the field, you feel great.
That last game, for most of it, if you're on the field like Allen is for a couple snaps, whatever.
If
maybe
you're
a little more.
If you're playing in the first half of the last preseason game,
you're good.
You're good. Unless you absolutely tank the first half of the last preseason game.
Yeah.
Like, if they start losing because of you, well, then there's problems. But there's enough questions on offense. And then you look at the defense and go, okay, pass rusher. Is Von Miller going to be back to at least a semblance of what he was? Because last year, he was unplayable at times. Not even at times. For the most part last year, he was unplayable.
Yeah. And you know what, though? By the end of the season, who was getting the pressure on Patrick Mahomes? It was him.
But again, it became like this. He was rushed back, and part of it was his own words. You know, he did put a lot of pressure on himself because he would say it. But now, A.J. Epinesa gets a nice little deal here. Can he keep up the efficiency that he was bringing? If you're going to say it about Khalil Shakir, you should be saying it about him, too. Can you keep it up with A.J. Epinesa? Is he able to continue to be a pass-deflecting menace? Is Greg Rousseau going to be able to take that next step as a first-round pick? Dwayne Smoot, how good of an addition does that become? A guy that was fighting injury and someone that should be able to contribute. At defensive tackle, you've got Daquan Jones coming back from injury. Ed Oliver's Ed Oliver. We need to put that to rest, by the way. If anyone talks bad about Ed Oliver, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're wrong.
Oh, yeah. You see him ride those horses on his Instagram?
It's fun.
He's flying and not moving.
Maybe he could play some polo.
He could play some polo. Absolutely. Get Josh Schmidt on the line right now.
We need Joshua Schmidt.
Yes.
Dwayne Carter looks like a really good depth addition as a draft pick in the third round. I'm fascinated by these kinds of things. Deion Jones, probably my favorite signing of the offseason as linebacker depth. They needed a player like this so that you can go ahead and have a rotation in there. But Deion Jones could be a starter for you if there's injuries to Milano or to Bernard and he needs to fill in for a couple of games. Dorian Williams coming back the next year. You want to see what kind of progression he has. Baylen Specter at least proved in the Pittsburgh game in particular that he was good depth for this team. And then, of course, the secondary. Can Kyrie Williams step up? This is a huge year for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see that sort of success because, I said this on Thursday, he's a really great guy. He gives back to the community a lot. And you want to just see him succeed, if only for that reason alone. But also, he's a Buffalo Bill. You want to see Bills make plays. And I would love to see Kyrie Williams really start to challenge for more snaps on the outside with Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. And if you have a three-corner rotation on the outside like that, look out. Because then you're dangerous. And, of course, at safety, Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards, projected starters. Cole Bishop, the second-round pick that Draft Twitter fell in love with that selection. How quickly does Bishop start making a role for himself? Well, you got to find these things out. 803-0550 is a number to call. What kind of storyline are you fascinated with this Bills team? What concerns you the most?
There are
concerns.
Yeah.
They are unproven.
It's a very valid question, concern-wise.
You can give us a call. However, in the next segment, we are going to be talking around the diamond as Pat Malacaro joins us talking about Bisons, promotions, anything like that, any fun games that you can go to. Mount up for tonight. Joey Votto, is he going to be able to chalk his way into the lineup before the Bisons are on the road?
Bo as well. Will he have a...
He might have to come down on an injury assignment. We're going to see. And we'll talk to Pat about that and more around the diamond here. Coming up next on Sports Talk Saturday, you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the pitch. It's in the dirt. And it gets away from the catcher. Here comes Tirada, and he will score on a wild pitch. The Bisons, why not? Walk it off on a wild pitch. They win it 1-0 here in 10. You got to be kidding me. That's a fitting way to end this ballgame. Nobody could knock anybody in. Nobody could hit. I mean, come on. 19 strikeouts by the Bison pitching staff this evening, establishing a new high. And they win the game on a wild pitch. How about that?
So good old pitch and duel there.
Mm-hmm.
In downtown Buffalo, Duke McGuire there on the call alongside our friend Pat Malacaro, who now joins us on the West Hura Hotline to talk some diamonds and seeing around not just the Bisons, but also looking into the MLB. And we might ask him a Sabres question or two. Who knows how the day is going to go here. But he's on the headset now from downtown Buffalo. It's Mr. Pat Malacaro. Pat, it's Derek. It's Joe. It's good to hear from you again, my friend.
Hi, guys. Great to chat with you today. It was a wild one last night as you played in the clip there. 19 strikeouts for the Bisons pitching staff. They'd never done that in 35 years. Only the second time in the last 5 years I can remember at this ballpark that there was a walk-off wild pitch. It did happen actually once before against Norfolk in 2019 here, but I haven't seen that in quite a while, and it's kind of that old adage of, you know, you come to the ballpark enough times, you're going to see something new. A lot of people probably have come to games for years and never saw something like that.
So, Pat, of course, the Bisons, though, they're it's another big deal here. A wild game, though, last night. Mm-hmm. But the headline, though, Joey Votto not able to participate yesterday as he's on injury assignment down there with the Bisons. What's it looking like for Votto here? Is there any chance that he might be in the lineup here for the Bisons in the next coming days?
He won't be in the starting lineup today, but mm-hmm. The good news for Joey Votto, for folks that don't know, he was assigned to Buffalo yesterday, met with the media before batting practice, and then was on the field taking some defensive work and just kind of stepped awkwardly and rolled his ankle, tweaked his right ankle, and unfortunately, it's the same one that he dealt with the ankle sprain in spring training. If you remember back to March, he hits a home run in his first game after being called up to the big league spring training roster for the Blue Jays, hits a home run in the dugout, steps on a bat, rolls the right ankle, and boom, that's why we're here today on July 20th talking about Joey Votto still not back to 100% or just getting out of the point where he's able to get to AAA. And yesterday, unfortunately, that same ankle kind of rolls it a little bit. He'll be reevaluated by the medical staff here today. The good news is, you know, the medical staff here does a great job. You know, not only is the Bison's roster 90 minutes away from Toronto, not that there's, you know, the medical staff would come down here, but you always have the ability to get that information back and forth pretty quickly. And, you know, if there were a need to, you're an hour and a half away from Toronto. So it's unlikely he's not going to play today. I would say probably, you know, get through this weekend, make sure the ankle feels pretty good, and then, you know, take it day by day right now. And the good news is it does not – the initial indications don't seem like it's too severe. So hopefully the evaluation today goes well, and Joey Votto can get back in the lineup really soon. I know he was really excited, not just to be here in Buffalo, but to be at AAA again to try and earn his way back to the big leagues, which is the ultimate goal.
Pat Malcaro on the Western Hotline with us here as the Bisons have – that was – last night was the first of nine here at home, Pat?
Yep, it was a four-day All-Star break, pseudo All-Star break. They mirrored the big leagues, and then three against Scranton Wilkes-Barre this weekend, another off day on Monday, and then Syracuse comes back to town. So second time in bookending the month of July that the Bisons have a nine-game homestand. Last time it was nine straight days before nine straight on the road. This time it's a nine-day homestand with the off day Monday in the middle, and a lot of great stuff that's going to be happening tonight, tomorrow, and all 9 days of this homestand.
So speaking of that great stuff happening tonight, Kyle Brandt will be heading to the ballpark with the bobbleheads. I saw that on the social medias already this morning. What is exactly, if you could say, going to be happening? Are there any ceremonies planned? I know there might be an autograph signing or something like that. Is anything like that going to be going on?
Yeah, so the gates are actually opening early today. For the 6:35 first pitch, the gates will open at 4:30 today here at the ballpark, allowing fans to get in to Salem Field early, because Kyle Brandt's going to start off right away with an hour and a half autograph session from 4:30 until 6. He'll be signing autographs in the concourse. You know, it's such a fun night here at the ballpark, and I think honestly it's something that really came out of a retweet that he had last year, or about a year, 18 months ago, where somebody sent him a video of one of the wing races here where I think it was one of the chicken wings absolutely demolished the other runners in the race. And Kyle Brandt was asking for some angry run submissions outside of football, and immediately he quote tweeted it, and it went nuts. And that kind of planted the seed of the idea of, okay, you know, Kyle Brandt, big Buffalo Bills and Buffalo supporter, is there a way for us to make this work? And he's been great along the way, whether it be the autograph session, which, you know, an hour and a half he's going to sign autographs for. He'll throw a first pitch on the field. I know he has said he's going to go to the top of the mound and throw from the rubber. So former Princeton football player, he's athletic to begin with. So that athlete gene in him makes him want to go to the top of the mound. So he'll do that. You know, he'll be taking part in the wing race as part of the angry runs also. And you know, the neat thing, if you've looked at the bobblehead, I think you guys have seen it on social media, you compare it to other bobbleheads that we've done here, and it's actually bigger than the previous ones. It's a little bigger in size and scale, standing on top of the broken table, the scepter in one hand, wearing the jersey, the whole bit, all of it. And it's actually a bigger bobblehead than we normally have produced. So maybe just some little extra to entice fans to come out tonight.
Pat, of course, with this one tonight with Kyle Brandt and the bobblehead giveaway there. However, there's an entire week after that of games here for the Bisons. What other promotional days are we looking at here for fans if they need a summer day away here at the ballpark?
Yeah, tomorrow is Bluey and Bingo Day for folks that have kids. It's always a family fun day Sunday at the ballpark. Mascot meet and greet pregame. A lot of times there'll be hair braiding stations, balloon animals, face painting. It rotates, so you want to go to Bisons.com. You can check out a lot of the particulars on what's coming for those days, but that'll be tomorrow as well. Tonight, actually, forgot to mention that not only is it the Kyle Brandt promotional night in Buffalo Mount Up night, but it's also, Bisons were not home on July 16th this year because they were off for the pseudo All-Star break. So the team's actually going to wear their locally made uniforms tonight with the color scheme of the city of Buffalo flag with the blue and white color scheme, the caps that were worn last year, the same jerseys that the team wore last year as well. So, you know, for somebody, all of us have grown up in Western New York, I think it's a neat little element to tonight's game as well. And then again, I mentioned tomorrow, 1:05 start time with Bluey and Bingo, where kids can get their picture taken with their favorite characters. Kids run the bases post game. Another festival night comes up on Tuesday. I know really a big one in terms of our festivals is Italian Festival Night. Always a post-game fireworks show after that as well. You got another afternoon game if you want. If you have the day off, maybe you want to just get out of work a little bit early on Wednesday. So, and you run the gamut of, you know, Friday night fireworks always. So there's a lot of great things that are going to be happening here at the ballpark in the next 8 days.
Pat Malacaro here with us. Pat, the second half of the International League season has not been treating the Bisons particularly kindly so far as that second half has been getting underway here. What's been going on with the team on the field when it comes to the difference between the 500 season that they had with the first half and in the slower start that they're having as the second half gets underway?
I think it's really the issue is what AAA is designed to be, is the place where everybody gets ready to go to the big leagues, and then call-ups and injuries at the big league level force the roster to change. And that's exactly what has happened to the Bisons really from June on. You look at Spencer Horwitz was leading the league or right at the top of the league in on-base percentage and batting average, having a better year than he had last year where he was the team MVP and top five in both of those categories last year. Nathan Lucas, another top 10 batting average on-base percentage offensive contributor to this team. Lucas is hurt. Horwitz is in the big leagues, and he probably is not coming back anytime soon. So those are two of your top veteran-ish players, and I say ish because Horwitz was still young and didn't have, age-wise, a lot of years of experience, but a lot of AAA. Addison Barger went to the big leagues. He was recalled today for Bo Bichette, who went on the 10-day injury list, which you guys mentioned. Relvis Martinez went to the big leagues right now on the suspended list, so he's not available. You just have a lot of players. Now you're talking about four or five of your top offensive contributors this year, and that's excluding the pitching staff, which has had some pitchers go up and down and some injuries taking place there to guys like Ricky Tiedemann. But how do you replace that? The only really real way to do it is bring players up from AA. So Riley Tirado has been a guy who has excelled at AAA since coming up from New Hampshire at both first and third base and adding some power. But there's going to be some struggles, and there's going to be some players that are playing now trying to figure it out at this level as they go. And that's kind of what you're seeing. And I really do think the pitching staff, which is kind of flipped in mid-June, the offense really carried the team for the first, I'd say, 2.5 months of the season. The pitching staff didn't pitch poorly, but they were doing just enough to get by. A lot of it due to bullpen games and certain things like that, and the bullpen being really taxed. Now it's flipped. There are five starters in the rotation. The starters are pitching well, as evidenced last night by Bowden Francis, 4 innings and 8 strikeouts. So now the offense has to try and catch up again, and that's why the team has really struggled to pick up wins here in the second half with now 6 of them out of 19 games.
So you mentioned Bo Bichette's injury, right? He left yesterday's game due to the right calf strain. That seems to be a recurring injury throughout the Blue Jays season. Do you see him possibly getting any time in Buffalo on a minor league assignment coming in the future?
I think that's too early to tell, but I think if you're a Blue Jays front office member and looking at the scenario and the situation for Bo Bichette, you just want to be as healthy as possible. And he dealt with that calf issue for a while now. They were hoping to keep him off the injured list and actually brought a player from Buffalo last week from Lehigh Valley, put him on the taxi squad just in case. But with the All-Star break, the Blue Jays wanted to try and give that calf a little extra time to get healthy. And unfortunately, it flared up on Bichette again last night. So I think it's too early to tell if and when he would rehab in the minor leagues, but it would be a scenario where you want to make sure that the calf is good to go, and maybe you do. We saw last year Bichette played in, I think it was just 2 games here with Buffalo late in the season, because he wanted to just had to test it out a couple of times. You don't do that at the big leagues. You do that, you know, on a minor league rehab assignment. So is it possible? Yes, but you know, right now I think depending on how long Bo is out could determine whether or not he would need to rehab at the minor league level.
Pat, of course, it'd be remiss. You're not just our baseball guy, but you know, the Sabres have had themselves an interesting offseason. I haven't had a chance to ask you about it. What do you think so far of what the Blue and Gold have been able to do when it comes to, A, remodeling their entire bottom six, but B, what do you think of their offseason so far?
I think this is the team that Lindy Ruff wants and needs in front of them and to coach offensively. I think you're building around the pieces that really were almost all the main cogs of the offensive explosion the last couple of seasons. And sure, I know that didn't get them to the playoffs, but you're building around more around Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, Dylan Cousins. You know, your offense, you know, that really J.J. Paterka, you're hoping that you know, this year, some of those players that were injured last year and missed a lot of time, like a Jack Quinn, can get back to the health and success they had the prior years. And you're going to want guys that can kind of grind it out a little bit. I don't mind the Ryan McLeod move. I'm always a person, look, being in minor league baseball for so long, you see, unfortunately, a lot of players who have great potential. And I hope that, you know, the trade works out for both sides, that the potential that the Oilers see in the return that they received works out for them in the same way the Sabres see something in McLeod that they value as well. So, you know, you're getting a known commodity. You know what you're getting out of McLeod. You don't necessarily know what you're getting the other way. So when you look at those types of trades, I err on the side of I like to know what I'm getting. And, you know, sometimes the player goes on to be a star in the future. No one could have expected what Tage Thompson did, and it took a really long time for him to get there. You know, it's as a very rough example of how a trade can end up working out for both sides in the end. But you don't know how, you know, the prospects will end up panning out. So I think for what the Sabres have done and some of the other moves they've made to really, like you said, you know, rebalance the deck offensively with kind of balancing things out with their offensive lines and the lines that can really grind it out and add some offense as well. You know, can Jordan Greenway add another dimension to his game under Lindy Ruff, which we've seen him have at times here in Buffalo and in Minnesota? That could be an X factor for the Sabres offense this year in terms of how do you get that production from the other players outside of your top scorers that we've been talking about them needing to have for, you know, pretty much a decade.
All right, Pat, it's always good to talk to you. And I'm going to get you a prediction time here. We're going to get a prediction, Pat. around the majors, everything that's been going on there, who are your favorites in the AL and the NL here after the All-Star break?
You know, you look at the National League. I mean, the Phillies are the clear favorites. That they pitch well. Their offense is top of the league. You know, can the Dodgers or somebody else eventually contend with them? Sure, but you've got to show that you can do it. So the Phillies are far and away the class of the National League. And if you were talking today, who would you pick to, if the season ended today? It'd be the Phillies. You look at the American League. The Yankees, I just don't know if their pitching is going to be good enough once you get to the postseason. There's just something about their pitching staff that just doesn't necessarily wow me. And if you're Brian Cashman, do you have to go make a move that we've seen them try and make a splash in the past, get a guy like a Sonny Gray type of move where maybe it doesn't work out, but you go for it? Because I think that they're probably that one starting pitcher away from really solidifying things for a postseason run. At this point, I have to say you got to give me the Orioles. And, you know, there's a lot of teams. Cleveland has probably played way over expectations. Not probably, they have. But if we're talking the team that, look, they made the playoffs last year, you know, won the division going away in Baltimore, and then just kind of flamed out. I think you learn from that experience. And right now, the Phillies and the Orioles, the two teams I look at and say, if the season ended right now, they're probably the most complete in their two leagues.
What time's pregame here for you today, Pat?
We had a little treat today. Paul Hamilton will be over on the radio side. Duke McGuire and I will be over on my TV Buffalo for the TV broadcast. But Paul and Todd Callen will have 6:15 countdown to Bison's baseball to get everyone set for the 6:35 first pitch over on the Bet 1520.
Look at that. You're putting Paul to work. Good.
He doesn't work enough.
Pat, thank you very much for taking the time, as always. And if you want to catch Pat on the TV side here today, I say do that. He's not just a brilliant guy. And also Kyle Brandt will be on that broadcast. So, hey, there you go. Pat, thank you as always, and we'll catch up soon, my friend.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
That's Pat Malacaro on the West Hur Hotline. Bisons in action tonight. Kyle Brandt.
Yeah. It sounds like it's going to be a fun
night. Mount up day at the ballpark.
Hour and a half. Autograph signing.
He's putting in the time.
He is. He is.
And, you know, Kyle Brandt, he's an interesting piece with Buffalo, obviously. Like, loud and boisterous. One of the more vocal supporters when it comes to national media with the Bills.
They had Josh Allen on his podcast for a year.
We are super late to the break.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We got to get going here. And then we're in and out after that. We don't have time to talk about this. We'll talk about more of it coming back. This segment's going to be so quick, I didn't even put my headphones in.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That is because we were already late to the break, and that caused us to be late to this break. So let's try to get hour number three back on track here. We just talked with Pat Malacaro. So, of course, hey, you know what? Sometimes you go along with a quality guest, and that's what you got to do. We talked with Bruce Nolan in the first hour, by the way, and if you miss any of these, you can hit the rewind on the Odyssey app, like that promo just said, or you can go on our website at WGR550.com and look it up under the Sports Talk Saturday podcast tab. Let's go right back to break. Come back. Let's talk some Bills. Talk some training camp. Look at the teams most fascinating when it comes to who the Bills are chasing Kansas City along with. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join in. If not, and you want to just listen in, hey, we can carry this one for you. No big deal. Sports Talk Saturday, Derek and Joe Callie, we're here for you for another hour on WGR. This segment's going to be so quick, I didn't even put my headphones in.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That is because we were already late to the break, and that caused us to be late to this break. So let's try to get hour number three back on track here. We just talked with Pat Malacaro. So, of course, hey, you know what? Sometimes you go along with a quality guest, and that's what you got to do. We talked with Bruce Nolan in the first hour, by the way, and if you miss any of these, you can hit the rewind on the Odyssey app, like that promo just said, or you can go on our website at WGR550.com and look it up under the Sports Talk Saturday podcast tab. Let's go right back to break. Come back. Let's talk some Bills. Talk some training camp. Look at the teams most fascinating when it comes to who the Bills are chasing Kansas City along with. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join in. If not, and you want to just listen in, hey, we can carry this one for you. No big deal. Sports Talk Saturday, Derek and Joe Callie, we're here for you for another hour on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.